Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, again tonight, an opportunity to gather together, one with another and with you, to fellowship with another, one with another, and to fellowship with you and to hear the word of God. As always, Lord, we know the entrance of your word brings light. And we thank you, Lord, because you said with all your getting, get wisdom and understanding, because it's the principal thing. And Lord, tonight, we're looking for that wisdom, Lord. Say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he will give to all without holding back. If we trust in your name, if we ask in faith. Tonight, we ask in faith, Lord, that you will shed the light in our hearts and give us understanding. And we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, on Sunday, we were talking about the slaying of a giant. Well, tonight, I did ask, you know, invite people to come to this, you know, teaching, but, you know, I can see that not too many people came. But those of you who are here, I'm sure the Lord is going to bless you. Can I get an amen? Amen. Tonight we are going to talk about slaying of a different giant, a different kind of giant. It's called the giant of financial debt and financial crisis and those things, you know. So, but, you know, I don't know if I will finish this tonight because there's no way you can do a series like this in one day. But I am going to start and try to get through as much of it as possible. I am dealing tonight on the subject of the biblical guide or biblical principles to financial success. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I want everybody to take notes because, you know, I'm going to bring it from the scriptures. You know, I hope everybody has something to write with. If you don't, we may have some to give you. Now, this is not, you know, I'm not going to be preaching tonight. I'm going to teach. So I'm going to take my time and bring the scriptures and explain these things, you know, both from the scriptures and also from common sense and so forth like that, you know. And this is not some get-rich-quick program. Amen? Because I already said it's the biblical principles. We're going to see how the Bible brings it forward. Why is it necessary? You know, in a time that we are living in, this is a time where, you know, in fact, men's hearts are failing them for fear. There's financial crisis everywhere. You know, gasoline prices is going through the roof. Yeah, I don't even, you know, I remember when we used to have, you know, gasoline 99 cents a gallon right here in the United States. You know, today it's about, you know, $4.15 average, you know, and so forth. I mean, prices in grocery stores and prices everywhere, you know, things are just, you know, so, you know, how do you manage your finances in times like this? You know, and, you know, how do you not only manage, but how do you come out on top? And how do you stay on top, regardless of what's happening? Praise God. So that's what I think. It's a very important subject for everybody, you know. And, you know, these Friday meetings that we'll have once a month on the Friday that starts our monthly consecration, as I said, it's called our faith lab, a faith laboratory. So in these meetings, you know, we will always go into some practical teaching that goes down. Last month, we did the soul winning series, evangelism, you know, the key to personal evangelism and the methods, you know, personal evangelism, effective soul winning and so forth. We did that series last month, and this month the Lord moved on me to do the financial series. But don't forget that from last month we were talking about soul winning and so forth. I'm going to take a minute just to refresh our minds on that. You know, everybody needs to be a soul winner, and we threw out that challenge that we should be doing the SWOT in 7. And, I saw that challenge was, you know, quite a challenge. It was quite difficult, you know, but don't get discouraged. I made a note to myself to remember to encourage the people. I will extend that challenge, you know, the SWOT challenge, the Soul Winners Action Team. challenge. We're going to extend that challenge. We said 7 in 7 before, so let's extend 7. If you can witness to 7 souls in the whole month and bring some of them to Christ, I mean, that's a wonderful thing. So we'll extend that, you know, so don't get discouraged. We'll extend that for the month. And I did say that, you know, we're going to find out at the, you know, the next Faith Lab meeting, how everybody did. So I'm going to take a few minutes and remind us that we should be doing that. You know, but because I have a long message tonight, I'm not really going to, you know, to ask us tonight. Maybe I'll ask some other time. You know, but, you know, you should be doing that. And you should be witnessing every day. And you should be a channel of blessing. And you should be a soul winner. Amen. Now, on to tonight's. What I have here is, as I said, biblical principles or the biblical guide to financial success. And, it's going to be the biblical guide, not only to, so it's success in general, but, you know, this is part one of a series. And in part one of a series, I'm doing financial success. You know, there's success in general. You know, what does the Bible have to say about how we live a successful life and so forth like that. And, you know, so we'll cover that in general, but tonight we'll zero in on financial, personal success, you know, or success in your personal finances. That's what we're going to be doing tonight. I'm going to start here at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. Let's lay a principle for this. And throughout this teaching, we are going to bring it straight out of the scriptures. I mean, what the Lord has to say. And also by the spirit of wisdom and so on. Now, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. So right off the bat, we see that he is dealing with Joshua here and telling him, you know, the way to prosperity, quite unlike what we hear today, you know. How many of you ever heard any prosperity preaching anywhere on television? Anybody? Oh, yeah. It's all about, you know, you give $1,000 or you give, $10,000 and whatever. I already have $10,000. That's a lot of money. You know, you know, so we're not talking about that, you know, tonight and so forth. It's nothing about that. Now, usually when people preach on financial success and so forth, they want to take an offering, you know. So they say all of that not to get your money. We don't do that here in this church, you know. I'm not taking any offering tonight. You know, we don't take up offering when we do these teachings. We only get our usual offering on Sunday. So this is not about that at all. Well, there's a place for that, and we'll come to that. But it's not about that. What we're going to see. The first principle that God lays down here is, it says, the word of God, that's the law, shall not depart out of your mouth. You know, you're thinking about it, you're meditating on it all the time. And it says, you know, do that in order for you to observe, you know, to keep all the things that are therein. He says, for then shalt thou make your way to be prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So remember that. That's the first principle. And we're laying that as a foundation, that's how you get good success, is to do what? Come on, people. Come on, let's make this interactive. To do what? That's right. Keep the book of God's law, which is this word, in your mouth. You know, and it won't depart out of you. You meditate on it and so forth like that. It says you meditate on it day and night. And so forth. So that's how you make your way to be prosperous, and that's how you have good success. And, you know, throughout the scriptures, this principle is laid out. But I will just read a few verses of scripture tonight on that, and then, you know, because we have a lot to cover. Psalm chapter 1, the book of Psalm chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly is going to be blessed. That's what the Bible says. No, so if you want a blessing, if you want your life to be blessed, don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't listen to the ungodly people. You know, nor stand there in the way of sinners. You know, don't even congregate, you know, and so forth like that. Nor sit in the seat of discomfort. Don't put yourself in the place where people are scorning the word of God. You know. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now it's the same thing he told Joshua. You know, and he said, and then if he's doing that, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Can I get an amen? Amen. That bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither. You know, it doesn't matter what's happening around him, his leaf will not wither. You know, and whatsoever he doeth. Can everybody say whatsoever? That's right. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, now, this is, you know, these are the foundations and these are the biblical precepts upon which success is built. So, don't look this way or that way. Tonight, we're going to look in the Word of God and we're going to bring forth, you know, of course, you know, you know, as this series progresses, I might deal in some strong things, you know, because I'm going to challenge people and so forth. Maybe I'll get to that tonight, you know, but, you know, so we start this way, showing that, you know, success is built on meditating in the Word of God. You got to read the Word of God. You got to meditate on it. Why? Because this book of the law, that's like the owner's manual, the instruction manual for life. God gave it, you know, all that you need to know on how to do these things, you know, how to make your life to succeed and so forth like that. It's right here in the Word of God, and we will see some of it tonight. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 5. I want everybody to be marking these scriptures down so that you can have something for reference later on. And as you all know, or if you don't know, we are not producing any of these messages, but they are all on the website. Every one of these messages that we teach, whether the ones we preach on Sunday or the ones we teach in these kinds of series, they are on the website, gmichurch.org, and you can go to the sermons page. And so if you miss any of these things, it's all there, you know, for so that it will help you. Deuteronomy chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 32 and 33. Now ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you. Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now that's Deuteronomy 5 and 32. Ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live and that it may be well with you. Now, so that's the same concept. In order for you to live and there to be well with you, you should walk in all the ways of the Lord. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. And that ye may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. You know, so these principles are all over the scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. I want you to remember right off the bat here. It says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. So it is the Lord that gives us the power to get wealth. So don't you ever forget it. It's the Lord that will do it. And he's going to show you how in this message and in this teaching, this series that we are doing and so forth. So I'll give you a few more scriptures as a background before I get into the very serious part of this message. Psalm 32. And verse 8. Psalm 32 and verse 8. Now we want you to know that the Lord is always, he's got his eye upon you and he's going to guide you and so forth like that. You know, and here's what he says in Psalm 32 and verse 8. Say, I will instruct thee and I will teach thee in the way which thou shalt go, and I will guide you with mine eye. You know, so, you know, how are you going to make your way prosperous besides the you know, meditating on the Word of God and so forth, God is also going to guide you and He's going to instruct you, you know, because in order for you to, you know, to succeed when everything else is going wrong, you've got to have direction from God. You know, He'll tell you what to do and He'll direct you and so forth like that, you know. And, you know, so keep that in mind. God will guide you, you know, and, you know, but you must listen to the Word of God, you know, so on and so on. So now, Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. I want you to write it down and turn with me also, Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit. See, I am the Lord that teaches you. You know, I said I will guide you, I will instruct you the way to go, you know, because you say, well, you know, what can I invest in and so forth like that, you know, to make my way prosper. Well, the Lord said, I will guide you. I will teach you in the way to go. I am the Lord thy God that teaches you to profit. See, and that should lead you in the way that you should go. That's almost the same thing as what Psalm 32 verse 8 said. So the Lord is the one that's going to teach you on how to make profit. You know, how to make your life profitable and your life a success, you know. And He's already told you one thing, to keep stay with the Word of God and so forth, meditate on it. And then He's also going to, you know, He's also going to lead you. You know, if you hack into the written Word of God, then you get to the point where you can also hear God's leading directly, personally, from the Spirit of God. Now, I want you to know that the principles that we are talking about relating to financial success, you know, and how God is going to bring success and help you to, you know, be financially successful in your life and so forth, it all comes from God, and God is the source of everything. And don't you forget that. God is the source. That's why I told you, the Lord, you know, is the one that gives you power to get wealth, you know. So the Lord is your source, not really your job, not the whatever you have or what you don't have. The Lord is your source. And He says that Philippians 4 and 19 brings that out very well. Philippians 4 and verse 19. It says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You know, the Lord shall supply all your needs. You know, not according to your job, but according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, you know, the reason many people are in debt is because they have not leaned on the Lord to supply their needs. They probably leaned on their credit or whatever else, you know, and that's not going to work most of the time. You know, you should lean on the Lord. You know, you should trust the Lord to supply all your needs. You know, that's what the Bible says. So we're going to get into that tonight, and I've just laid the foundation, you know, and the spectrum of scriptures that I have given will cover the things that I'm going to do tonight. You know, the Word of God, you know, His leadership, and, you know, and so forth like that. And then knowing that He's the source and, you know, so on. So that's the spectrum of the things that I'm going to cover tonight. So here we go. The concept of properly managing your finances is your personal responsibility, you know, and but it also is, you know, is relevant even in the concept of your relationship to the Lord, because it all boils down to good stewardship. Now, let me say that again. Proper management of your finances is good stewardship. And I want to show you that from scriptures. And if you're not managing your finances properly, that's bad stewardship. You know, so we're going to cover, you know, all of that and so on. And then later on down the road, we're going to show you actually how you can succeed and make some, you know, make some improvement. And it doesn't matter what situation you are in now, you know, you're going to learn through this series, you know, how you can bring positive changes to whatever situation you are in. Amen? Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, good stewardship, God requires it. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12. Romans 14 and verse 12, he says, we shall every one of us give an account of ourselves to Christ. So then every one of us shall give account of ourselves to the Lord. You know, so, you know, you are going to give account. You know, I mean, some people are just here, you know, just doing anything they want with their finances, and they're getting all kinds of trouble and so forth like that, and they're digging themselves into debt so badly and all that. That's not a sign of good stewardship. In fact, that is bad stewardship. You're going to give account. See, you are going to give account. And I'm going to show you, you know, all of that in the scriptures, you know, in a minute. So take note of what chapter 14 of Romans and verse 12 says, is that every one of us shall, you know, give account of himself to God. Now let's see some stories that Jesus told. Now, I love these parables that Jesus told, you know, in the scriptures. Every time he say the kingdom of heaven is likened unto such and such, and he'll tell a parable and so forth like that. You know, and some people don't really know what these parables are. You know, they think it's just something that Jesus conjured up in his mind and so forth like that. Well, he uses these things to illustrate a point. But I tell you what, in some cases, those are actual anecdotes. They're actual events that happen. Remember, he is the Lord. You know, he's seen those events. You know, those events may have happened somewhere, and he's bringing them out. So he knows exactly what he's talking about. You know, but in any case, he uses those things to bring out some points. And they're simple things, but there's a lot of points, you know, that he uses to bring out, you know, in some of those parables. Now, Matthew chapter 25. You know, we're moving now into the stewardship, you know, aspect. And Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. I'm not going to read all of it all, but I'm giving you the reference because it's very long. I don't want to read all of it. I've got so many scriptures, you know, to cover and so forth like that. You know, but the story starts. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered them his goods. And he gave to one 5 talents and to the other 2 and so forth like that. You know, every man according to his ability, and he took his journey. You know, so that story, he tells it, you know, they use the word talents here, which is, you know, a certain, you know, weight of gold and so forth like that. You know, so that story, he tells it, and when he came back, he asked the disciples to give, the servants that got these talents to give account of what they had and so forth like that. Now, that's Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 30. Now, let me read the same, a different rendition of the same, the same story that Jesus told here in Luke 19. And I'm going to read from verse 12 through verse 26, is the one in Luke 19. I want to read this part here because it brings out, you know, a slightly different viewpoint, you know, in case you don't know what a talent is and so forth like that. So, Luke 19 and verse 12. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. So right away you see that it has to do with finances, money, in case you didn't know what talents were, you know, and so on. So, you know, gave them some money and so forth. And he said, occupy until I come. You know, so, you know, then he told, you know, about some things. I'm going to skip that part and all that. So finally, when he came back, you know, verse 15, it came to pass that when he returned, having received that kingdom. Now, that's like the Lord, you know. So when he received the kingdom, when the Lord comes back, now take notice of this, when he comes back, because he, you know, he's talking about the kingdom of God like unto a man and so forth that went to receive a kingdom. And when he had received the kingdom, he gathered his disciples, servants and so forth. So he's going to gather all the people, going to gather the elect and so forth, and we're going to give account. Say, we must all appear before the, you know, judgment seat of Christ, not unto condemnation, but to give account of our stewardship. Like it says here. So now he said to the one that, you know, had received, you know, some money, you know, he gave them the pound, he did well with it and so forth. The other one did well with it and all of that. And he gave them, you know, a blessing and gave them reward for doing well. And there was a story of one that did not do very well, you know, and I'm going to go back to Matthew 25 to read that out to you. The story, you know, I'm going to go back to Matthew 25 for just a second. Verse 20, And he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside thee 5 talents more. So he went and traded with the money. Now, talents here is money. You know, it's a weight of gold, you know, that God had given him. And he made some profit, you know. So, you know, he made good account of his stewardship, you know. And then the Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant, that has been faithful over a few things. Now, notice that. I'm going to dwell on this subject. You know, faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. You know, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. So, you know, he was faithful in a little, and then God gave him more, you know. And then the one that received the 2 talents also, he made another 2 more talents. They both made 100%, and they both got the same kind of rewards and so forth. And then the Lord gave them the same benediction, you know, faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord and so forth and all that. Then the one that received 1 talent, there was one that, you know, didn't do very well, you know. So, you know, he got, he was rough, you know. And he, you know, he was irresponsible and so forth like that. And then, of course, you know, the Lord finally said, well, take it from him. Give it to the one that had 10 pounds. And they said, well, he already has 10 pounds. I said, that's right. He said, to him that has shall be given more. And he that doesn't have anything, even with that which he seems that he has, is going to be taken from him. So now, most of us know that story, you know, but it brings up the point of stewardship. Stewardship. They gave, you know, God wanted to have an account from his stewards, you know, that he distributed things to. Now, I want you to notice that the finances that God gives into your life, they're really God. The Bible says, you know, that everything really belongs to the Lord. It's none of us, you know, we don't own these things. God gives it to us. He allows, it's kind of like, you know, he just puts us in charge, loans us, you know, the blessings, the money, the finances that we have, just so that we can, you know, he'll see what we are going to do with it. And then, you know, sometimes he starts you out with a little, you know, and then if you are faithful, you know, then he, you know, he gives you more. And if you are not faithful, you know, then maybe he takes it away from you. In Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. So, it's all the Lord's, anyhow. You know, but, you know, he gives it to us to, you know, benefit from and, you know, to see what we're going to do with it and so on. You know, and if you do a good job, you know, he'll give you more. You know, if you don't do such a good job, you know, then you're going to have to give account to the Lord. Now, I'm going to bring an important principle out from Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and I'm going to bring out from verses 10 to 12. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 to 12. Now, you know, I want everybody to really take note of this that I'm about to read. Take note of it, because it's a very important principle concerning all of the, in fact, it is so crucial, I don't want you to miss it, you know, as it relates to, you know, how you go about prospering with your finances and, you know, the things that God entrusts into your hands and so forth like that. Now, Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least. Now, this is Jesus talking. You know, if you are faithful in a small things, will be faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in that which is least is unjust also in that which is much. Now, that's the reason that, real blessings don't come into the hands of most people, because they are indisciplined. They don't know how to do it. You know, they just squander it most of the times. And when you fail in a little, God's not going to give you any more. That's what this Bible verse is saying. See, because he knows that you are unfaithful in the small, so why should he give you any more? Now, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who's going to commit, you know, to your hand the true riches? You know, you have not been faithful in the money that you have. You know, how is God going to bring real riches and real finances, you know, into your hands and so forth? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, you know, I mean, you are on the job, you don't do the job faithfully, you know, you are always cutting corners and so forth from your boss and so on like that, you know, or you're supposed to be there at 8 o'clock, you're not, you're there at you know, 8:45 or whatever, you do all of these things. You're not even faithful on another man's job, you know. If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, now who's going to give to your hand that which is yours? This is right in the scripture. Now, some of you don't know that this thing is in the scriptures. See, you say, well, you know, I want to go into finances. I want to go into business for myself. Well, the time that you were an employee for somebody and you didn't do a good job, you were unfaithful. You see, the Lord is saying here, if you're unfaithful in another man's business, now, how in the world do you expect that the Lord's going to give to you that which is yours? Now, think about that. See, so, whatsoever your hand finds doing, do it as unto the Lord. Amen. How many of you say amen? That's right. You know, don't be as, you know, for eye service and so forth like that, or men pleasers. You know, just do everything as unto the Lord. So this is a very important principle. If you are not faithful in that which is least, the Lord is not going to commit into your hand the true riches. And if you are not faithful in that which is somebody else's, He is not going to give you that which is your own. That's an important principle. Keep this in mind as we go to the next phase of this. Now, God does not want you to be in debt. Amen? Now, I'm going to go into that right now. God doesn't want you. Now, if you didn't get anything out of tonight's teaching, make sure you get this. God does not want you to be in debt. You know. Now, that's a far cry from the society that we are living in today, especially here in the United States, where everything is credit. You know. And in the next section that I'm going to go to, after I deal with this topic of God doesn't want you to go into debt, I'm going to talk about an attitude change. You know, but let me deal with this first. You know. Today, you know, and I'm going to bring in a little prophecy here as well. You know, today money in the United States and in many parts of the developed world and so forth like that, in Europe and so forth, you know, you can actually live your entire life without seeing any currency. How many of you know that's true? It's all electronic now. You know, I mean, if you choose to, you may not even see any currency. I mean, you can go down to the grocery store. You can use your credit card, you know. You can have direct deposit from your employer, and so you don't even see the money. You know, you can, anything you do. You know, people, you know, I've known, you know, we don't do it here at this church, but I've known places where people even give their tithe through credit card. You know, so you can do everything without even seeing hard cash. You know, even if you write a check, it's all numbers. You know, you don't see the money. If you put $10,000 in the bank, you know, I mean, or let's say your employer deposits your paycheck as a direct deposit into your account, you don't necessarily see the money. You know, they just crunch some numbers and put it there, and you can transfer money all over the world now. It's all electronic, bits and, you know, digits and so forth, and it's all over. And in a minute, in a few seconds, the money is all over, you know, and you don't really need, you know, so because you don't carry this money around necessarily, they give you the credit card, they give you the charge cards, they give you the debit cards and so forth. Makes it easier for you to transact, you know, your business and purchases and all of these things and so forth like that, you know. And they put the credit cards into the hands, and especially some young people, you know, as soon as you're graduating out of college, you get all these mails, you know, you're pre-approved, just sign over here. How many of you ever seen that? That's right, they say you're pre-approved, just sign over here and so forth like that. You know, they just tell you, you know, they give you all these credit cards. So I'm going to be dealing in this issue of credit card tonight. You know, if I can get through all of it, you know, because God doesn't even want you now. So, one thing I want to tell you first of all is this. I'm getting ahead of myself here. God doesn't want you to be in debt. Now, let's cover that, and then I'm going to go into the other section. Now, why do I say that God doesn't want you to be in debt? Well, let's see some scriptures that have to do with that. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. He says, owe no man anything. You say, well, owe no man anything, what does it mean? Well, it means exactly what it says. Don't owe anybody anything, but to love one another. That's Romans chapter 13 and verse 8. But I'm going to read you some more specific quotations from the Bible, lest you say, well, you know, that's not what that means. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 15. Now remember, every scripture all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Right? How many of you know that's true? Well, let me read that to you here in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture, 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof. So I might bring some reproof from the scriptures tonight, because the scriptures are profitable for these things. They are also profitable for correction. Now, those of you who have been not doing a good job with your finances, we're going to bring some scriptures to help you to make the correction. Amen? And it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. You know, so that's the scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. That's what the scripture is all about. You know, we use the scripture to correct, you know, make changes and so forth like that, and reprove and rebuke and so on. And, you know, so that, why? So that the man of God, the woman of God may be perfect. He wants you to be perfect. Thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You know, so that's what the scripture is all about. So go with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 15. And I'm going to read verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 6. Now, don't forget, I'm talking about God does not want you to be in debt. For the Lord thy God blessed thee as he hath promised, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Amen? That's right. You know, the things that are in the scriptures, you know, even the things that he said to Israel and so forth. Israel was a type of the church elect. You know, thou shalt lend, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many and so forth like that, and none shall reign over thee. Well, you're going to find out in another scripture that I'll give you in a minute that the servant is, the borrower is servant to the lender. I'm going to give you that in a minute. You know, so, now, God doesn't want you to borrow money or borrow and so forth like that. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 6. That's the one we just read. Now, Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. Now, you can read the whole of Deuteronomy 28, at least the first section, on your own time. But let me just read verse 12 of Deuteronomy 28. And let's see what it says. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. Can I get an amen? Amen. The heaven to give thee rain into the land in a season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Now, that's what God wants for us. So you should lend to many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. See, doesn't want you to borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail. Amen? And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. Now, Proverbs 22 and verse 7. Proverbs 22 and verse 7. It says, the rich ruleth over the poor. Yeah, remember he said, you know, none shall rule over thee and so forth like that. See, and the borrower is servant to the lender. See, say, ye are bought with a price. Be ye not the servant of men. Now, if you are a borrower, you are servant to the lender. How many of you see that from the scriptures? That's right. You know, so, now God doesn't want you to be a servant. You know, because you are bought with a price. He wants you to be the servant of Christ. That's, you know, that's where you want to be. Your services at is for the servant, you know, be servant of Christ. But not to be as a borrower under the lender and so forth like that. You know, now, what is this borrowing and lending? Well, let me talk about this attitude, a change in attitude, you know, that I'm talking about, you know, that we've got to have, you know, today to understand, you know, we have to have this new attitude. I'm calling it an attitude adjustment. You know, and the first thing that you want to realize is that credit is debt, not cash. Everybody understand that? Let me say that again. credit is debt. When you buy something on credit, you are borrowing money to buy whatever it is you're buying. It's not cash. You're not spending cash. You are borrowing. And whoever is lending you that money, the bank that finances your credit card, they're going to charge you interest and all of these things and so forth. If you don't pay, they're going to send your money, your name to collection and all that, you know. And sometime down this series, I'm going to be dealing with all of those things about credit, you know, and collections and so forth, you know. But not tonight. You know, tonight, I want you to know that, you know, this credit card business that we have here, and I'm, you know, in America and so forth, and they are all around the world now, nearly, is debt. It is not cash, you know. And God says He doesn't want you to borrow money. He doesn't want you to borrow. He don't want you to be a borrower, you know. Now, you may have to borrow, you know, once in a while and so forth like that, you know. But, you know, what I'm talking about here is habitual borrowing, you know. Habitual, you know, and so forth like that. If you had to borrow something from, you know, a friend or whatever, that's not what I'm talking about, you know. But I'm talking about, you know, you, that's your lifestyle. See, it's a lifestyle. The Lord wants me to address that and correct that tonight, you know. So now, it's up to you, you know, when we show you the Word of God. Remember, the Bible says in James, you know, that the Word of God is like a mirror. You know, you can look into it, you know, and so forth, the law of liberty and so forth. But it will show you that your face is dirty. But you've got to, you know, do something about it yourself. You know, so if you look in the mirror and see your face is dirty, then you got to do something about it yourself. And Jesus said, you know, I will liken the man that hears my words and does not do them. I'm going to liken him unto somebody that built his house on the sand. That house is going to crumble. You know, so we're showing you the Word of God tonight. If you don't take it, things are going to get rougher. You know, and you know, before I get through tonight, if you think some of the things that I'm going to say may be a little harsh, you know, you wait until things turn really hard in this economy. And if you think you've seen anything, you haven't seen anything yet. You know, so now we need a new attitude adjustment, you know, about our credit and so forth. And you know, but let me give you a couple of other things before I go into that attitude adjustment. Let me give you a couple of other principles that God wants us, you know, to... You know, remember I told you about, you know, trusting in the Lord for your finances. Philippians 4:19. It's not, you know, you don't need to trust the credit card. You know, the reason people borrow money and do all of these things and so forth on their credit card until they are so deep in debt is because they're not trusting the Lord. They're not patient to let the Lord bless them, and they just go out and spend all this money that they don't have. See? So, now, listen to this. In the book of Luke, chapter 12, and verses 15 to 21, we're going to bring out a very important viewpoint about, you know, things that we acquire and so forth, and things that we get, and so forth, you know. And, you know, some of you may be perpetual, you know, and I'm going to get to that in a few minutes, you might be impulsive shoppers, you know. So we're going to deal with that in a minute, you know. Now, Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. Take heed, Jesus said, and beware of covetousness. See? Now, so, this covetousness he's talking about is that impulsive buying. You go, you see something, and you must have it. Yeah, that's covetousness. That's a work of the flesh. You know, or you spend too much time in the mall. You got to be careful now. You know, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. I mean, how more clearly can the Lord put it? Take heed of covetousness. Now, covetousness is the thing, is the reason that gets most people into debt. And they get deeper and deeper and deeper into debt, and it's a spirit, and we got to bring down that spirit. Amen? Yes. You know, we got to slay that giant like, you know, some of the other giants, you know, we got to slay that giant. Now, so Jesus told them a parable. He said, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plenty, and, you know, he said, what am I going to do? You know, I don't have enough room, you know, I'm so going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to do all of these things and so forth, and I'm going to say to myself, soul, you know, take your rest and do all of this. And God said, thou fool, you know. So Jesus brought that parable out, but the point he was trying to make is that, look, you know, when you have so much and you still want a lot more, like this man, that's covetousness. You know, because he already had. He said, look, I don't have enough room, so let me tear down what I have and let me buy more. Now, you know, you know, how much do you need? I mean, how many cars can you drive at a time? How many clothes can you wear? How many shoes do you need? Women, sisters, how many shoes do you need? You know, how many dresses do you need? You know, if you're running off to the store and buying all of these things on credit, now be careful now. How much of it do you really need? I mean, your closet is already full. There's not enough space. So you're thinking of tearing down the closet, maybe building a bigger one, so forth, so you can buy more stuff. You know, how much of those stuff do you really need? You know, so this man was doing all of that and so forth like that. You know, so we're bringing out a point. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Can you say amen?
Amen.
That's right. So let's understand that. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Paul is going to tell them that here that people should not put their trust in riches, because those riches are going to fly away anyhow. You know, they don't last forever. You know, I've heard of some very, you know, some prize fighters, you know, boxers that won millions of dollars and so forth in their life, you know, and the next thing you know, these people are worse off than almost, you know, homeless people. You know, some of you have seen it on television and so forth, you know, and all that, you know, and you just wonder, you know. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. That's right. You know, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So don't worry about all those things. Philippians 4:19. God is your source, not your riches. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. And certainly not your credit card. Now, let me show you one quick way for people to really, you know, get into trouble. You know. And many people don't know this verse of scripture that I'm about to read to you. You know, many people don't know it's in the Bible. But I'm going to have you turn to Proverbs chapter 22. And I'm going to read verse 16. Now, some of you may not know that this verse here is in the Bible. But it says, he that oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he that gives to the rich, now take notice of that, shall surely come to want. And so that's one sure way that you are going to get in trouble in your finances. You know, you are not going to have enough if you oppress the poor to increase your riches, or you give to the rich. Now, both of those are the same as far as the Lord is concerned. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We don't need to people giving to people who are already rich. They already are rich. What do you give to them for? You know, it's like some of these ministries and so forth, mega ministries, you know, they've got millions of dollars, and they still want people to give to them. Well, that's not a place for you to put your money at. Because the Bible says, you know, if you give to the rich, or you oppress the poor, and you are suddenly going to come to want. So now, be careful now. You know, now be careful. I mean, I'm taking these things straight out of the scriptures. So be careful about that. You know, some of you don't know that that's in the scriptures, but you know, he that oppresses the poor and gives to the rich, both of them shall surely come to want. You know, so, you know, that's something that we need to be careful about. Now, let's go back to this subject of attitude adjustment. And we're going to do now, this is the moment of truth. We're going to do what I'm calling a financial wellness check. A wellness check. Now, some of you are nurses, you know. I can see some of our precious sisters here who are experienced nurses, you know. So they do these wellness checks for their patients, you know, time to time and so forth like that. You know, so I'm going to do a financial wellness check for everybody that's here tonight. You know, and you have to be real honest now. So we're going to do this together. And here we go. Now, does everybody know what this is? Everybody know what this is? Come on, say it. It's a checkbook. Okay. I'm going to use this in a minute for this wellness check. Now, a wellness check, this financial wellness check, is not a very easy thing to do. Some people, especially, you know, some people don't, you know, like numbers, math, or whatever, you know, so forth. They can never balance their checkbook and all of that. I'm going to deal with all of that tonight. You know, so, you know, the first place that I want to do in this wellness check is this. Now, this checkbook is a good place to start. You know, to what we're going to try to do is I want everybody to examine themselves and consider your spending pattern. Now, perhaps over the last 6 months, that'll do. If you want to stretch it to 12 months, that's fine. But over the last 6 months, will do. You know. Now, since I didn't tell you to bring your checkbook, and some of you don't even have one, you use credit cards all the time, you know, you may not be prepared for this, but just take a few minutes and do this. Over the last month, for instance, think of the things you bought, and then stretch that to 2 months, and then 3 months. You know, now, those things you bought over the last month, how many of them did you really need? I mean, just think about it. If you have any bills, are you behind on your bills, on any of your bills? Do you pay your bills on time? You know, bills like mortgages, car loans, and I'll come to that in a minute. You know, if you have a house, you know, maybe you have to pay electric bills, or you rent in a place, you pay your utility bills, phone bills, whatever bills. Are you behind on those things? Now, this is part of the wellness check. So write it down for yourself. You know, you don't need to show it to me. You know, check out yourself. You know, but this is the wellness check. You know, you can't get further in this series any more help until we cross this bridge. And I got to cross this bridge right now. Now, then you look at are you in collection? Do you have anything? Any collections against you? I mean, bills that are unpaid that have been sent to collection and so forth, you know. And what was the last, if you wrote a check or if you use a credit card or whatever, what was the largest single purchase you made last month? Just think about it for a minute. And then think about 2 months, stretch it to 3 months, 4 months, and so forth. Some of you may not even remember. If you ever had some money in your hand, any amount of money, and it just disappeared before you could even remember how you spent it, how did you spend it? I mean, has anybody ever had like $100 or $500 and the next thing you know, it's gone? Anybody in the house? Oh yeah, sure. You know, how did you spend it? What did you do with it? Well, you're going to give account of yourself to God. Everybody is. Now, so this wellness check involves, you know, we look at, you know, what's in, you know, what we did over the last month, you know, and so forth like that. Got your checkbook, you know, what you did and so forth. Now, if you go to the bank, you know, you'll get something like this, which is called a check register. You know, Most people have never even seen this. And, you know, a check register is something that helps you to manage your finances. And some people don't even know how to do this. Well, you're in trouble if you don't know how to do this. You know, because you're never going to get a handle of where you're at. Now, if you have $5,000 in the bank, you start out with $5,000. If you make a purchase of $300, maybe it's a bill you wrote, maybe it's a check, maybe it's whatever, maybe you bought anything. You could have written it by a credit card, or you withdraw from the ATM, or, you know, the worst case is, you know, you write a check or whatever, you know, and so forth. You don't keep track of it. You know, there are some simple things that I want to bring out here. They're simple, but this is how people get into trouble. You have to start out with $5,000. You write a check for $300. You write another one for $200. Now, you've spent $500. So what's the balance that you should have? You should have $4,500. If you don't write it down, and you don't keep track of it, and the merchants to whom you wrote those checks don't deposit those checks for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks later, because they can do that. Some of them send their checks to clearing houses, and they don't clear these things on time, and they just hold checks and then clear them maybe once a month or whatever, you know. And if you don't do that, you know, maybe you go to the teller, to the ATM machine, and you look at your, after about 2 or 3 weeks, you look at your balance, and it shows that you have $5,000, and you forgot that you already wrote these checks for $300 and $200 because you didn't keep a balance. All of a sudden now you think you have $5,000, but you don't. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You don't have $5,000 anymore, but because you did not write it down, now you don't know what you have. See? And then before you know it, you're going to spend what you don't have, and then you get some charges from the bank and so forth and all of these things and so forth. You know, and then, you know, you start running into trouble, you know, and if you write a check that bounces, you know, you'll be charged twice. You'll be charged from your bank, you'll also be charged from the merchant and so forth. Now you say, well, I don't use a check. Well, your credit card is even worse. If you're going to use a credit card at all, you should pay it all at once. If you do not have the discipline, because God doesn't want you to be in debt, if you do not have the discipline of paying your credit card all at once, then don't use it. Because you are spending money that you don't have. If you are using the credit card for the convenience of not carrying cash, now that's all right. And then when you get the bill, you pay it all at once. But if you don't pay it all at once, you pay the minimum fee, which is the $10 or the $15 or whatever. And they pile compounding interest on that for you. Before you know it, I mean, you find out that your principal balance never goes down. You're just paying off the minimum, just paying off the interest and so forth. And these revolving balances, they pile up and compound the interest. How many of you know what I'm talking about? See, now, having a credit card is nothing wrong. You know, it's sometimes it's actually good in emergencies and so forth. But if you haven't learned the discipline, you know, paying it all out at once, then you shouldn't even have it. You know, I have credit cards and so forth. But when I started to have credit cards, the first credit card I ever got, you know, was an American Express. And I chose that because they force you to pay everything up at once. And I used that to discipline myself to the point where, you know, because American Express will force you, know, they didn't carry the balances. I don't know what they're doing now, but back in those days, they didn't carry those balances. Like, you had to pay everything. Once the bill came, it was due. Everything was due. So I got the American Express then, you know, when I used to travel and so forth, my consulting business. And I used that for all of my travel expenses, and I paid it all. Didn't matter whether it was $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, whatever it was. You know, when I got the bill, I paid it all at once, you know, and so forth, you know. And I use that to teach myself the discipline of doing that. You know, now, you know, I have other kinds of credit cards today, but I've already learned the discipline. You know, it doesn't matter anymore because I've learned the discipline. Now, if you don't have the discipline, you shouldn't be using those credit cards because what it does for you, the credit card, what it does for you is easy. You can't afford something, but you're going to buy it anyhow. So it's a trap. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That's right. You know, want another big screen TV? or you want a few more dresses, or you want another nice pair of shoes and so forth like that. You already got too much in your closet anyhow, you know. But you're going to go down to that mall, you know. And even if you don't have it, you're going to buy it because you can charge it up on the credit card. Now that's a trap, and that's not wisdom, you know. And that thing begins to eat into you like a cancer. And pretty soon, you know, it's just become a lifestyle and so forth. You got to have the next thing that you want to have, whether you can afford it or not, or whether you even need it or not. So this wellness check is for you to take inventory of your own spending habit and check it out. You know, you don't need to tell me. You don't need to tell anybody. You check it out within yourself. Be honest with yourself. Just check it out, you know, and see, you know. Now, after you've done that, you might find out that you've not been a very good steward, you know. And, you know, if you're in debt or you owe bills or you are behind or this or that, or you have collection against you, or you have more credit card balance that's higher than your income. You know, some people spend a lot more on credit card than even their income. How in the world do they expect to pay it off? You know, because the credit card is some false security. You know, maybe your income is $5,000 a month, you know, and then all of a sudden you charge up $14,000 or $12,000 or whatever. How in the world are you going to pay that off? You know, so, you know, if you keep doing that, it becomes a pattern, you know, and pretty soon, you know, you must have. And so Jesus said, beware of covetousness because, you know, a man's life does not consist of the things, you know, that he owns or doesn't own and so forth like that, you know. And then there's other wisdom in life, you know, and so forth, you know, that the Bible tells us, you know, I don't know how much of it I'll have time to get to tonight and all that, you know. So when you find out where is your spending going, if you are an impulsive shopper, you need to put the brakes on it. You know, if you have to go down, if you go down to the store and you cannot go there without buying something that you didn't plan, you know, that's an impulsive shopper. You know, you should go there and buy what you want to buy. You know, and you just get in there and you plan to buy one, you know, plan to buy A, B, and C, and you got there and you bought A, B, C, and X, Y, Z on top of that, then you're an impulsive shopper. Because you didn't plan that, but you bought it anyhow. You know, just because they told you it's on sale. Well, nothing really is on sale. You know, just take that from me. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. When they want to do these sale prices, they first of all jack up the price. And then they bring it down and make it look to you like you're saving money. You're not spending any. You're not saving any. You are spending money. You know, they tell you, you know, you can save $100 today. Well, how much are you going to spend in order to save that $100? $700. You know, they tell you that you can buy something for $700, which will have cost $800, and you are saving $100. And people buy into this lie. They tell you, well, you can save $100. No, you're not saving $100. You are spending $700. So this is the attitude adjustment. I want you all to think about it. You know, don't think of, you know, when you are in the store and they tell you you're saving money by spending so much because they cut the price. No, you are spending the money that you are spending. You know, forget about that. Now, I'm going to get into savings in a minute. You know, but so we need to get, you know, that attitude adjustment and so forth like that. Now, you know, I'm going to give you some wisdom to wrap this up. You know, wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is a principal thing. How many of you know that? And with all you're getting, you need to get wisdom. You know, if you don't have any wisdom, now knowledge is good. You know, what I'm giving you tonight is knowledge and so forth. But wisdom is the application of knowledge. And you remember also that in this faith lab, we're going to be doing practical application. That's why I'm drilling down into these things, you know, and so forth. You know, so I'm going to talk about, you know, some wisdom tonight. Now, after you have checked, you know, with yourself, you know, and you find out that, you know, your spending habits are less than desirable, you know, then you're not being a good steward. You need to put some brakes on it, you know. And if you don't even know how to fill out a check register, you know, hopefully by the time we finish this series, you will learn how to do that. Okay? It's very, very simple, but if you're not doing it, and a check register is actually used for more than just checks. Now, I've learned to use this check register. You can see all these writings, you know, whether I write a check, or I get money from the ATM, or whatever, you know, it all goes in here so I can keep track of it. And every month, to the penny, it's balanced. Now, some people don't even know what it means to balance their check register. Well, what it means is, you know, you have your deposits, you have your withdrawals, you have your checks, you have all bank charges or whatever it is, and when it tallies, it comes down, it's like a personal balance sheet every month. And at the end, it tallies to the correct balance that you should have. But if you're not keeping track of it, if you're relying on the bank to keep track of it for you, well, you're going to make a grievous error. Because some purchases may not hit your statement cycle on time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And then you look at your balance, you think you still have that money, and you cannot remember. Now, remember one thing. A wise person once said, the faintest ink is better than the best memory. I want you to think about that. The faintest ink is better than the best memory. You know, because sometimes your memory will fail you. But if you write it down, see, that's the reason why you write it down. Because, you know, after 3 weeks, some of you can't even remember now what you spent. Because you didn't write it down. You went to Jack in the Box over here, you went to McDonald's over here, you went to the mall over there, and so forth. You went to the gas station. You can't remember all the numbers, you know, because, and if you don't write it down, how in the world are you, after 2 days you can't even remember. Now, how are you going to remember after 30 days? You know? So, let's be real. I want everybody to take the challenge. Go down to the bank and get one of these things. You know, and so forth. It's called a check register. It's free. You young people, you know, and write it down. And especially if there's any young people in here, don't get on that track, that so-called fast track or credit card. Don't get on it. Stay away from it. Amen? Praise ye the Lord. Stay away from debt, you know, and so forth. You know, you will be glad you did. Now, here is some wisdom that I'm going to give you tonight. Spend less and save more. Everybody say spend less. Save more. Well, you say, save? Why should I save? Well, and I tell you the reason why people don't like to save. In the book of Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, Matthew 6, 34, Jesus said, take no thought for your life, for the morrow, and so forth. You know, for the morrow will take thought of itself. You know, so, you know. And so we get religious, therefore take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So we get religious on that concept and say, well, yeah, gee, you know, I don't really have to say, you know, I don't have to think about tomorrow. Now, that's not what Jesus was talking about at all. He was talking about anxiety and obsession. See? So, the anxiety, because you read all of it, it talks about, you know, you can't, you know, these are the things after which the Gentiles seek, the what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and all of that. That's anxiety. See? I'm going to show you scriptures, you know, because this one scripture, you know, that somebody may say, well, gee, you know, I don't have to think about tomorrow and so forth. Well, I'm going to show you scriptures after scripture that show that you should plan your finances, that you should take care of these things and so forth, and don't leave things up to chance and all that, you know. And, you know, so some people look at that and say, well, why should I, you know, when Jesus said, you know, don't worry about it, you know, and so forth like that. Well, that's not what he was talking about. Let's turn to Luke chapter 14. And I'm going to read verses 28 and 29. Now, if you remember, the word of God is profitable for correction, instruction, and righteousness. If you humble yourself to the word of God, you're going to get a lot out of this. Amen? The Lord's really going to help you. Luke chapter 14 and verse 28. Now, which of you intending to build a tower will not sit down and count the cost? I mean, you know, you're just going to jump out and go do it. That's impulsive shopper. You don't sit down, you don't count the cost, you don't do all of this, you just jump out and do it. Which of you intending to be retired, sitteth down now first and counted the cost, whether he has sufficient funds to finish it? Less happily, after he laid the foundation, he is not able to finish it, and then behold, people begin to mock him. And they say, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You know, so Jesus is saying, look, you're going to embark on something like building, and you don't make plans to see how you even have funds to finish it, or you plan how you're going to do that, and you just jump right in, and you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, you don't even have funds, you don't have anything saved up for that, and so forth. You know, when you start, and you're not able to finish, people are going to mock you, he said. And Jesus said that. And so compare that with take no thought for tomorrow, and so forth. So you see that's the taking no thought for tomorrow is talking about the anxiety. Things that you cannot change. Oh, you know, I'm not tall enough, I'm not white enough, I'm not black enough, you know. He said, you can't make one hair white or black. You can't change that stuff. But there is other things that he wants you to do. So, here is wisdom tonight. I'm going to give a couple of examples. And then, in the book of Genesis chapter 41, the whole chapter, it talks of the story of Joseph in Egypt. Now, many of you know the story. Pharaoh had a dream and all of that. You know, the lean cattle, seven of them, and the fat cattle and all that. And how Joseph interpreted that dream. How many of you know that story? Let me see your hands up if you know the story. Okay, I can see almost every hand up. You know, so, you know, Joseph, by supernatural wisdom and the gift of interpretation of dreams and the word of knowledge, it was all combined, all those gifts working in him. He brought forth the interpretation of that dream, and he laid down a plan. And he said, look, here's what it means. You know, there was also the 7 years of corn and all of that, but they meant the same thing. He had the dream twice, and he said, look, because of the severity of the dream, of what's coming, God gave it to you twice. But the bottom line of the dreams were this. There's going to be a time of plenty, and then a time of famine. And the plenty will be 7 years. You're going to have abundance in the land. And after the abundance, you're going to have a time of trouble, financial, economic wars and crises and famine, and the crops will die and everything. And the 7 years of famine will erase even the memories of the good times. Because it'll be so bad. It'll be like the dust bowl, sir. It'll be so bad. And then Joseph said, here's what you do. And the wisdom of God came upon him. He said, here's what you do. When you have those 7 years, you lay up in your storehouses. You store it up. And he said, when you store it up, then when the lean years come, you'll have enough and plenty to spare. You know, and so, well, Pharaoh, he said, well, I don't know who's going to do this for us. You know, appoint a man, Joseph said, and so forth. So finally, Joseph was appointed to do it, and he not only used the wisdom of God, he brought that out, and he did it so perfectly. And he saved the world, almost, Joseph did, by that wisdom. Because when the whole world went into famine, everybody came into Egypt to buy, and so forth like that. And God even used that to help him reconcile with his family and so forth. You know the story. I don't have time to go into all of that. But the wisdom of that, the example of that, is for so that nobody will say, oh, you know, we're not supposed to do any planning and so forth like that. You know, now, here's where people go wrong today. When you get a bonus, when you get a raise, when you get something, some financial windfall, some unexpected money coming to your hand, you know, from your job or whatever it is that the Lord bless you with. You know, the first thing that people do today is run to the shop and buy a bigger screen TV and buy a bigger this and buy a bigger that and so forth. They spend it all. That's what happened to those multimillionaires, boxers and different things and so forth. They spent it all. And at the end, they were worse off than when they even started. You know, now, if you are like that and so forth, then your financial wellness check is not good. Instead of spending the extra money that you have, you need to put it away for the rainy day. How many of you say amen to that? That's right. It's called storehouses. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. If you want to write it down. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. I'm still on this subject of why should I store things up when, you know, when the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread, you know, so all I have to do is, you know, every day just believe and so forth like that. Well, you have to balance the scriptures, you know. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Here's what it says. He says, honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses are burst out with new wine. You say your barns will be filled with plenty? Yeah, sure. Why should you need plenty in there? You know? Why should you need plenty? Why not just, you know, what you need and not anymore? You know? No, because, you know, the Lord, He has a plan. These things come in cycles. There's always cycles of blessings and cycles of difficulty and trials. Now, you don't know what's going to be in the latter end, the Bible says. You know, you don't know if you're going to lose your job or your spouse is going to lose his job or her job or whatever. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. And most people make the assumption that everything is just going to be the way it is. No, it's not going to always be the way it is. You know, your company could be bought out by another investor, and they might decide to lay off half the company. It happens all the time. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Absolutely. And then the next thing you know, you just lost your job. See? And if God had blessed you, and you know, but you'd gone out on a spending spree, you know, just because you thought, well, you know, gee, everything's hunky-dory here. You know, then you go and buy a new car, you go and buy a new this, you go and buy a new that, and as soon as you're done buying all of those things, then you lose your job. And what are you going to do? See? So you need to put some brakes on and think about this. When God increases you, you need to have a savings plan. You see, you say a savings plan, absolutely, just like Joseph, because there's going to be, I guarantee you, just as surely as there is night, there is day. Just as surely as there is day, there is night. You know, God, in the beginning, He said, let there be light, and there was light. But He never said, and let that darkness depart and be no more. He never said that. And if He had said it, we would never have any more darkness. But He didn't say it. He left the two of them side by side. How many of you know what I'm talking about? There is always going to be night, and there is always going to be darkness. That's right. There's always also going to be light. So you're going to have your times of plenty, and you're going to have your times of not so much. You know, and there are incidentals that you are going to happen. You know, your car might break down, you might need repairs, you might need new tires, you might need a brake job, you might need, something might break down in your house, you might have, you know, some medical bill, you might have, you know, what do you call it, co-payments on your insurance, or insurance bills, or, you know, the tax on your real property, estate property may be due. There's always something that you need money for. But if you don't have anything, then you charge it up and you go into debt. Now, do you also borrow money from a new source to service an existing debt? How many of you know what I'm talking about? If you borrow money from a new source to service a debt that already exists, your wellness, your financial wellness check is not good. You know, so these are telltale signs of financial problem. See? So it's not good. You know, now if you are new in this country, well, maybe you haven't gotten to all of these things just yet. But, you know, you can learn from all of this wisdom, because, you know, as sure as I'm standing here today, you're going to be faced with all these things. And, you're gonna have to deal with it and so forth. Now, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. God even gives us an example from the ant. The ant is one of the smallest insects or whatever that you can think of. How many of you know that? Very tiny and so forth like that. But Jesus said, you know, that in the Word of God here, He says, in the Word of God here, He says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, and consider her ways, you know, and all that. He says, these ants, they have no guide, they have no overseer, no ruler, but they provide their meat in summer. See, they make provision for the winter in the summer. That's planning. And the scripture is saying, go check it out. See? And he talks even to sluggards, you know, some people that like to sleep all the time. You can read verse 4 of that chapter. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber, you know, to thy eyelids and so forth, you know. So, you know, he's talking about, you know, wake up and do something. And then check it out. What the ant does, it takes care of itself, its meat in the summer, because in the winter they can't go out, it's too cold and so forth. So they store up, the ant stores up their food. In the, you know, so that's wisdom from even the ant. You know, so now, when God blesses, you need to store it up instead of spending it up. If you spend it up and then your circumstance changes, then what are you going to do? Then all of a sudden you go into more debt and you have to borrow and do all of these things. Whereas you could have used wisdom like Joseph, you know, did to avoid all of that, you know, and so forth. Now turn with me quickly to Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And I'm going to read verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. I was telling you that God puts these things, these cycles, side by side. You know, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. So there's always going to be prosperity, and there's always going to be adversity. You know, so as sure as you have prosperity today, you know, maybe you got a nice job and all of these things and so forth like that, just as sure as you got that job, there could be a situation where you lose that job, then what are you going to do? You know? So there's a prosperity and there's adversity. God has set one over against the other to the end that people should find nothing outside Him. He wants you to trust in Him. That's why He gives you these ups and downs. See? Now, what are you going to do if you suddenly lose your job and you have nothing? Here's a good rule of thumb. You should have 3 to 6 months of expenses saved up. If you say, if it costs you $5,000 every month between your mortgage and your car payment and your bills and your et cetera, whatever, you know, then you should have 3 to 6 times that amount saved up. Because if you lose your job, it might take you that long. Well, maybe some of you, you know, you're in an industry, you know, like some of the nurses and so forth, in the industry where, you know, the job is so rampant and all that, but it may not be your job that you might lose. It might be a medical emergency. It might be something that happened to your family. It may not even be immediate family. It could be somebody, your brother, your sister, a distant, you know, somebody, you know, all of a sudden something happens that you have to help them or bail them out. You don't have the money. Then, you know, then you're in trouble, see. Then you have to borrow, charge it, and do all of that. You know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, so, you know, we need to use wisdom, you know, with all of these things and so forth. Now, and if you are already debt-free, then what do? Because I'm saying, you know, stay out of debt. When some people say, well, I'm already debt-free, then what do? Well, if you don't have any mortgage payment, if you don't have any car payment, or maybe you are not debt-free, but you are living at home, you're a young person, but you're living at home, you don't have any of these bills yet, well, then you should be saving the money that you would have been spending on those things. If your mortgage payment is $1,500 a month and it's already paid off, then every month you should write yourself a check for $1,500 and put it in a savings. Because you should have spent that money on your mortgage. And you don't have the mortgage anymore. Well, pretend like you have the mortgage and write yourself a check. So here's what you do. Every month, the first thing that you do, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. You give your tithes. That's the first thing. And then, you pay yourself. Not by going to the store. You know, some people, as soon as they get their salary, they want to feel good. Then they have to go to the store and run up here and buy something and so forth. That's not what I'm talking about. You write yourself a check and you put it away. You know, in a vehicle that is liquid, that you can get to it in the case of emergency. You know. So, what kind of check do you write yourself? Well, whatever God has helped you with. If you don't have a car loan anymore, why don't you write yourself the amount of money you used to pay on the car loan? If you paid up your car loan and it used to be $200, Write yourself a check for $200 and put it. You'll be surprised how quickly you can have some savings. Amen. If you only put away $100 every month, at the end of the month, at the end of the year, you already have $200. Imagine if you put away $500 every month. At the end of the, and many of you can put away $500 every month, considering your spending pattern. You know, all the money you spend on things that you don't really need. You know, consider if you put away $500 every month. At the end of the year, you already have $6,000. Consider if you did that for 2 years. I mean, that's assuming you didn't even put it into any savings or any plan or anything. You know, I don't have time to get into that tonight because they're not all very, you know, very effective and very safe. You know, but assuming you just put it in the bank. I mean, even Jesus talked about, you know, you should have put my money in the bank so I can get my own with usury to the servant that didn't do anything with it. So even if you gain a little interest on it, maybe it's something. You know, so $500 a month in a year is $6,000. In 2 years is $12,000. You know, and so forth like that. You know, and, you know, before you know it, it really accumulates and so forth like that. You know, some of you will have college expenses coming up. You know, both either for yourself or for your child and so forth like that. You know, and if they are unable to get the sponsorship they need and so forth, you're going to have to shell out that money. You know, where is it going to come from? You know, so a lot of these is wisdom and so forth. Now, because of the time, I'm going to have to round this up right now and summarize as follows. One, God is your source. Amen? Two, He doesn't want you to be in debt. Now, if you're already in debt, there is a way that you can come out of debt. I didn't have time to go to that. That's the next in my series. So, how do you come out of debt, you know, if you're already in debt, you know, and so forth like that? Well, you know, I'm just going to say one thing about that right now. Reduce the bad habit of spending. That's one way. Cut out what you don't need. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have three or four telephones and you only need one, get rid of the others because you are paying monthly bills on all those ones that you don't need. These little things add up, you know. And for you young people, let's say you are living alone and you are having a hard time and so forth, you know, maybe you should cut out the cable TV. You know, you save $50 a month right there. Amen? Praise you the Lord. You know, there's little things, you know, that you can cut out and so forth. And all these unnecessary things. And when you cut out those things, save that money on, you know, for the rainy day. You know, and then if you are in a good position, you know, to help yourself, you can also help others, if you have that. How many of you say, praise the Lord for all of this? Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise God. Now, what we've done tonight is wisdom, you know, on how to go about our affairs and so forth. I didn't have time to get into all of it because of the time, you know, and we're going to try to continue it sometime. How many of you enjoy that? Amen. Praise God. We are going to try to continue that sometime, and I have some very, you know, frank things to say to all of us, you know, on how to help our finances and so forth like that. You know, God wants us to be wise, and, you know, you will come up against situations where, you know, what you may have saved will help and so forth like that. The Lord will always, you know, help you out and so forth, but they all, you know, He's already helped you out by giving you those extra money in the time of plenty. Amen? That's why you save that money, and then in the time of not so plenty, you have, you know, something to use, because, you know, I showed you those examples from the Bible. Let's stand to our feet this tonight. Praise God. Now remember, I want to challenge everybody to learn how to balance their checkbooks and so forth. You know, if I had like a 3-day straight meeting, then I could take all of these things. But we only have this meeting tonight, and I don't know what I'm going to be preaching on Sunday. May not be this at all. But we'll find time to come back and do this. Maybe I'll continue it next Wednesday here at 7 p.m., you know, if you want to be a part of that, and then come and hear the rest of it. And so forth. I don't know if I'll do this in the Sunday service. because that's a different kind of service. But we'll find time to continue this. Praise God. Amen. Now, how many of you would like the Lord to really give you the grace, you know, to be an overcomer in this aspect of finances? Amen. Praise God. Now, if you did that wellness check and you didn't do too well, you know, let's believe the Lord together right now. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, wisdom has spoken tonight. And we ask you, Lord, for understanding. We ask you for the grace that we would need to correct our finances. For those of us that haven't been doing very well, those of us that have not been good stewards, pray, Lord, that you will give us the grace in Jesus' mighty name, that we will make good accounting of our stewardship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Give us wisdom also, Lord, not to, you know, go after things that we don't need. Bible says, beware of covetousness, because our life doesn't, you know, consist in those things. Teach us, Lord, tonight and every day, that we also meditate on your word, that we think on all these things that we have heard tonight, so that we may have good success, and that the Lord may continue to guide us. We pray, Lord, that you will open our understanding to these things. Blessed be thy name, O Lord. And as you prosper also, Lord, help us in every which way to apply our hearts unto wisdom, to do like Joseph did in the days of plenty, to rejoice and to put away, because the days of adversity, the Lord will have made provision through the days of plenty and we'll have something. Well, we pray, Lord, that you give us this kind of wisdom and help every one of us in Jesus' mighty name. And those that are overwhelmed in debt, in Jesus' mighty name, Father, create and work a miracle for them, Lord. Open doors of blessings. Let it come into their hands. And through these teachings, through these understandings, let them know, Lord, how to handle the extra blessing that will suddenly come their way. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, bring miracles and sudden help to people that really need it, that are really bad, in a bad shape and hurting. Make a way for them, Lord. Those that are looking for a work or job, create and open the door and meet every need. And let us all, help us all to remember that you are our source and you will supply all our needs according to your riches in glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Let's give the Lord a hand clap for that, everybody.